Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Will you please be seated? Yes, it's lovely to see you, and if you're a special visitor to us today, then we're pleased to see you as well. Many thanks to those of you who asked me how my holiday went. It was fantastic. It was fantastic, but now I'm here with you, which is nice. So thank you very much. So that's good. And the other thing I'd like to say is Jonathan sadly isn't here this morning because although we've had a wonderful time, he's come back with a streaming cold. And we think it would be safer for you if he didn't appear here this morning. So please remember him in your prayers. Let's just begin our sermon in just a moment with a prayer. Now, I'm not doing a full exposition of the passages that we've had this morning. I'm sort of dipping into one and dipping into another, as I sometimes do. But it would be useful for you if you were able to have the Romans passage open, which is Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. And I think you'll find it on page 1133. 1133. We also refer to the Matthew passage, but I can't remember the number for that. Let's just close our eyes and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit and through your good grace, you'll speak to us this morning. Encourage us in our faith and our understanding and enhance our fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, having said what I've just said, I'm beginning my sermon this morning with what may be considered to be a slightly unusual passage, because it's neither of those that I've just spoken about. Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Today you'll be with me in paradise. What a lovely phrase that is, and particularly for the man who heard it. I've entitled my sermon this morning, "Receiving the Proper Reward," based upon Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42, our brief Gospel passage for the day. So why have I instead started with this familiar crucifixion scene from Luke's Gospel? Well, because in one sense, and admittedly in a purely earthly physical sense, these criminals are indeed receiving their proper reward, their just deserts, according to the law of their day, execution. A fact admitted by the so-called penitent thief upon the cross, who said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Now, we naturally like and tend to think of rewards as being the positive prize for good and inspiring behavior and brave endeavor, such as winning the Nobel Peace Prize or being awarded the Victoria Cross. So it can actually catch us out and make us uncomfortable when we perceive the concept of reward being administered negatively as a form of punishment or death sentence, as we see here at the crucifixion. But then we have to remember the words of St. Paul contained within our epistle reading for today from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So with that in mind, it's worth asking ourselves just for a moment, what was it that drove these two men, these two criminals, to their death upon the cross? Well, of course, we can't say for certain. Sometimes they're described as thieves, and occasionally there are hints that they might be insurrectionists. But whatever it was, we can be certain that they were, in the eyes of the authorities of their day, they were criminals who deserved to be punished, even the one who we recognize to be the penitent thief upon the cross. It's hard to believe that they just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. They must have done something which deserved their execution. Whatever their motivation might have been, whether it be simple greed or from their point of view some other more noble cause, thinking the way of the world had literally led them to a dead end. But the problem is that for many people today, and perhaps even ourselves subconsciously, that's the way we think. The world in which we live has changed radically over the years. In terms of technology and other modern innovations, it's changed greatly for the better and for the good. But in terms of personal morality and ethical values, much less so. The old certainties and standards which we used to cling on to no longer seem to apply, which is quite a shock to those of us who are of a certain years who held on to more traditional values, and is, I suggest, slightly confusing and bewildering to younger people who perhaps are caught up in the midst of it all. Honesty and truth have become relative and sidelined to each person's own personal goals, dreams, and aspirations. As long as they suit my purpose and help me get along in life, all to the good. And we can see this in the world in which we live. Now, justified and rightful, indignant, peaceful protest about the shooting of a boy by police in France is one thing, but it swiftly has moved into looting for personal gain, theft, and anarchy, destroying local assets and community adhesion. Organized telephone fraudsters think nothing of scamming elderly people out of their life savings, as long as they can make a quick buck from it. Gangs and drug dealers make vast sums of money by initially enticing young children into running county lines for them with the promise of a new mobile phone or trainers, until those children find themselves caught up in a system that they simply can't get out of. And despite the Me Too movement and many years of feminism, with women fighting for equal rights, dignity, and against male sexism, many young women today find that they can make more money selling sexual images of themselves through their OnlyFans accounts than they can by earning from a regular job. And tragically, they think nothing about it. It doesn't seem at all unusual or strange. It's just a girl doing what a girl needs to do in order to either make ends meet or get along in life. It's just normal. The truth is that as a society, we reap what we sow. We used to think that bad behavior was down to poor education and the lack of opportunity. And with better education, people would be more enlightened and therefore better behaved. In a sense, that we used to think that the mind would have victory over the body, if only it was better educated and more enlightened. But what if, and this is the nub of it all, what if the mind, and by that I mean our mindset, our fundamental way of thinking, is actually flawed? What about if the way that we actually think is flawed? Because that is what the Bible teaches us, and what St. Paul is getting at here in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. He says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God One of the fundamental themes of this passage of Romans, it's too deep and complex, and every verse is deep, that I can't possibly expound it all here in the pulpit. But one of the fundamental themes of Romans is how one cannot serve two masters. You cannot live both the old sinful life and the old sinful life of the human nature and the new life in Christ. By this, I don't mean that Christians are perfect and not prone to sin, because of course we are. We're all frail, we're all weak, we're all fallen. And we all fall from time to time and make mistakes. But we should not make the sinful life our master. We should not allow ourselves to become its slave, as if that is our goal and our intention. Instead, we should seek to be better than we are and live the new life that we have received in Christ, which is, of course, something different, and something that we cannot do for ourselves, but only through God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. For as Bishop Tom Wright, in his little commentary on this passage, makes clear, evil is what you get when the mind is twisted out of shape. Evil is what you get when the mind is twisted out of shape and the body goes along for the ride. Are you with me on that? Evil is what you get when the mind is twisted out of shape and the body goes along for the ride. What we need, therefore, is transformation. Transformation. Allowing God, through his Holy Spirit and the work of Christ, to transform both our hearts and our minds. And making them better, more perfect, more holy, and more like his own. But that, of course, requires us to appreciate our human weakness and our intrinsic sinful nature, and with repentance to make a choice. And yes, it does come down to this. You need to make a choice, a deliberate, conscious choice as to whether you're going to turn away from your past life and put your faith in Jesus Christ and his redeeming work upon the cross. Appreciating that not only did he die for our sins, but actually that he dealt with those sins upon the cross. It's a wonderful thing about the cross and the crucifixion. It's a terrible event. But what we leave at the cross, when we turn to him, stays at the cross. It's dealt with. It's done with. And we're offered the possibility of a new life, the forgiveness of sins, when we put our faith and our trust in him. And in a sense, in that moment, when we genuinely believe, we become new creatures. We become new creations as we allow God, by his Holy Spirit, to touch our hearts and our lives and to begin that work of transformation in us. But it's not a once and for all moment. It's something that we need to contemplate and think about for the rest of our lives, something that we need to work at and allow God's Spirit to work at within us. For Paul says this in Romans 21 and following, What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things that result in death? What benefit? But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, not slaves to sin, but slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For, and here's the famous phrase, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've spoken about receiving the proper reward. In fact, that's what I've entitled my sermon, Receiving the Proper Reward. And the proper reward for sin is death. But the reward for those who put their faith in Christ is not a reward that we can earn for ourselves through any merit of our own. We cannot simply pull up our bootstraps and live better. We just don't have it within us. We can only receive that reward through what Christ has already done for us upon the cross, and accept it gratefully when we put our faith and trust in him. Therefore, That reward is really a gift, a free gift to us all when we put our faith and trust in him. C.S. Lewis once wrote a description of hell as being the place which drives people further and further apart, whereas in Christ we're all drawn together into one body as members of his church. Which finally brings me to our brief gospel passage. Yes, you're wondering when I was going to touch on it. Our brief gospel passage for today. When Jesus says to his disciples, in verses 40 and following in Matthew chapter 10, anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, that is children, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Those who stand firm, those who hold on to the truth, will not lose their reward in Christ's name when they act on in his name and on his behalf. For as you can see from this passage, rewards are important. With these few words of Jesus speaking about receiving in various circumstances the appropriate reward by way of illustration. But in my humble opinion, the lectionary has done us a disservice here. By not putting these three verses, 40, 41 and 42, into context. For the right and proper context of those three verses is found in the verses which come just before it, verses 38 and 39. And this is what Jesus says in those verses. For anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life in an earthly sense will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The implication being that if we simply follow the way of the world, the end result will be hollow, will be empty, and in a spiritual sense, if not physical, may very well be the death of us. But if we, despite our intrinsic sinfulness, hold on to the cross and the teachings of Jesus, keeping our spiritual heads, as it were, when the rest of the world seems to be losing theirs, even if we suffer for it, then we will not lose our hope or our reward, but be granted instead the gift of eternal life, the only appropriate reward in the circumstances for those who believe and put their faith in Jesus as promised in here, as promised by him, as promised by Jesus himself. So let us do all that we can to be wise and discerning, not simply following the way of the world or be tempted to serve the wrong master, but to keep our hearts and our minds and indeed our faithful focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as our hearts and minds are focused on him, they become transformed. And in the process, therefore, we have a better chance of shaping and transforming the world in which we live and the people around us. For ultimately, we want each and every person to hear those beautiful words of Jesus. I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. In the name of Christ, amen.